we've had in the past. It's always more fun when there's more campers.
There were also a lot of really awesome things this year. One of the biggest was the returning staff, which was so great for me because they were able to carry on a lot of the traditions and introduce me to a lot of the traditions of camp that I was unfamiliar with because I hadn't been here before. Another big thing was our partnership with Camp Agape. This is a picture of our whole group at the end of the week. Camp Agape came to us just soon after I started, so just a few weeks before the summer camp program launched, and they run a program. Their goal is to have camp for kids with at least one parent who is incarcerated. So they added a week to our schedule and added 30 kids to our overall camper camp, which is really awesome. There's some really great kids. It had its own challenges, a lot of behavior disorders that week, but also some really awesome successes. And we're really excited to continue that partnership with them next year. And then just finally, what went really well this summer was the kids had a lot of fun, as you can tell from some of the pictures, and as you can tell from the end of the week camper evaluations. One of my favorite things was to go through and read answers to the question, are you going to come back next year? So I thought I would introduce you to some of those answers here. We have yes, exclamation points. Oh, definitely yes. Heck yeah. Yes. Yes, the smiley face. Here's obviously, because what else would you do? And yas. And just to be fair, so you know, I didn't put all the good answers up here. This one doesn't say yes. It says, it's likely that I would. And after the summer ended, we kind of wrapped into the summer wrap-up, going through the summer and a lot of things going on there. One of the big things for me, actually, I got married right after the summer. My wife, Kate, haven't yet heard that since she's wonderful. Another big thing, wrapping up the summer, just looking at things, we're reviewing what went really well this summer and what to improve for next year. So some things that we were talking about and reviewing was just my own experience, which has been really awesome because I've been able to have a lot of training from Sheets and from Tuna. I've been reading some good books about my role here. Actually, I'm going to a conference next week or so, maybe 2 weeks, about all four specifically four new directors. So I've had a lot of training there, which is awesome. We had some parent evals that I went through. One parent mentioned that we might need more support in the cabin, so we're looking towards putting two staff members in a cabin, that the counselor and assistant counselor, for every cabin. That's one of our goals for this summer. We had a lot of emails from kids who were telling us that our shelter chat time, which is where the counselors take their group aside and they have a community Bible study, that's actually really poorly rated. I think a lot of it is not engaging for the kids, and the kids think it's boring. So we're thinking about how to still complete our mission, fulfill our mission, while also being engaging and relative to where the kids are at now. One big thing, we changed our program names. So they used to be Voyager and Discover, and now we have program names that better represent the program being offered. So Launch kind of talks about launching into the camp for the younger kids. There's Core, which are 3 weeks, kind of the heart or the core of our program. And there's Summit, which is for the kids who are like summiting here at the camp and the older kids. And another big thing we added this year, or for this coming year, was day camp. We got approval from the board to go forward with the day camp around December or January. And there has been one in the past, but there hasn't been one lately, so that'll be a new experience for us. And then finally, just doing some work with the rental groups, reorganizing our rental structure, especially because of the new pavilion. There was a lot of price changes that needed to happen, and I actually created some wedding packages. So if anyone's here interested in getting married, you're welcome to do it at camp. And then after kind of the summer wrap-up, we launched into Winter Sum, which was a lot of fun. We had a lot of kids this year, especially the first week. The first weekend, we filled up the cabin. There were no extra bunks at all, and that was really awesome to see. There were some challenges too, mainly that there was no snow. As you can see here, this is actually more of an ice cubing run right now. We threw down some straw and it was slow enough to still be safe. We had a lot of fun. We worked around the fact that there was no snow. One of the challenges is just my first time, so a lot of learning there for me. There were some huge blessings. The pavilion was awesome. The kids, I saw pictures, I don't know how Cheats did it for so many years, kept cramming everyone in the basement, but it was so great to have the space here. We were able to play some big campaigns and also just have plenty of room to stretch our legs and run around inside too. Another big benefit and awesome thing we're grateful for the winter was the volunteer support. We had people come all the way up from Pennsylvania. They sent food up from Pennsylvania. They stopped in the kitchen for a day or for a week to cook for us and for the kids. We had a group from a young adults group from Franconia at a church in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of them here with the kids. And they came to be counselors and program staffs and cooks and shepherds and worship team leaders. And that was just so awesome to see the support that the camp had from people all over. And then after winter, we're kind of in this space now where we're getting ready for summer 16. So I just want to talk with you some about what's going on this next year. So I'm looking for a few things. I'm looking for some really awesome staff. If you don't mind getting kind of dirty and crazy and love kids. Like I said before, we're having more assistant counselors this year, hopefully one in every cabin. So I ask for your help because we're hiring more staff than we typically do. Please, please, if you know young people or old people who would love to work in camp for a whole summer, please encourage them to apply or talk to me. We need counseling positions, cooks, we need a cook, we need maintenance, office admin, we need nurse or volunteer nurses. There's a lot of opportunities there. One thing I'm really looking for this summer is more campers, especially on day camp, because it's a new program right now. The word's not out as far as the other programs, so we're encouraging more younger kids to come to camp, because a lot of parents I've found are uncomfortable sending their kids overnight camp for a whole week. It's hard to let go. So with the younger kids, it's really nice to have that transition, and the younger kids can start coming to camp earlier, which means they'll come to camp longer. Another thing we're really looking for this summer is more partnerships. I mentioned our partnership with Camp Agape. I'm working with the youth group of Calvary Church in Rutland, hoping to get a lot of their youth group kids here and interacting with us. We're also working with some with Angel Tree Ministries, which mainly is seeking to serve kids also who have incarcerated parents, providing them with Christmas gifts. But this time of year, they're encouraging those kids to go to camp. So we're partnering with them, hoping to get some of their kids to camp too. I'm also looking for shepherds, so if you know anyone or you are someone who is able to relate well with kids and is willing to come for a week camp and share about God and the Bible, I would love to talk to you further about that. There's also some cool new stuff going on this year. One cool thing I'm really excited about, we have some sheep this year, courtesy of Dale. So we're really excited about doing some animal husbandry at camp. We might get chickens there as well, we'll find out. So I said that the assistant counselors, I don't know if they create more big events. The campers loved big events like Mission Impossible. So I'm working to have maybe even like one every day. So the kids are like, there's always something super exciting to look forward to. I'm learning more about the values of Bethany Birches, and one of which I found over and over and over again is the love of nature and being outdoors. And I don't think that was how I approached it as much last summer as I'm excited to this summer. I'm excited to be outside more and create more outdoor programs and activities. One of that is an emphasis on skill development. And we have these interest group hours where the kids can learn a new skill. But oftentimes, how it worked last summer, and I think I've talked with Brandon some too, it's been an introduction to a skill. We're really excited to push that further and have the kids develop a skill, possibly even over a couple of years. Like come back every year and improve your archery. So that's kind of what we're talking about outdoors too, archery and canoeing and survival skills. These are things that kids can learn at camp. So you come to camp, they have fun, they learn about God, and they learn how to do a cool skill. A really awesome thing, we're moving into the pavilion soon. You can see some of the work. I know Brandon's going to talk about that more later. But that's really exciting. We'll have more room for the program staff to work this year. We'll have an actual nurses' station. These things we're really excited about. And I mentioned before, kind of our thoughts behind the spiritual adjustment of camp. I think it's still very valuable for us to have these times. Obviously, it's part of our mission. We're thinking about how to make it more relevant to the campers. And one thing we're thinking about doing is removing some of the pressure from the counselors and putting it on the program staff who are more experienced and more well-trained and have more experience time working with kids and sharing this way. So the counselors will still have these times with the kids, but some of the times will actually be on the program staff to lead and to develop. Hopefully we'll go a little better. So thanks so much for listening. I'm really excited to continue to meet all of you. I'm really thankful for your support so far. I'm really excited for this next summer. Please talk if you have any questions. I'm excited to talk with you. So thank you.
Any questions?
Oh, man. I am so clear.
Oh, great.
No questions.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I would like Amber to come up. We had a finishes their service, like Phil is tonight, which is very sad, giving them this very nice, it's actually a paperweight, and it says, thanks for your guidance. So I made an executive decision to also give one of these to Amber. Thanks for your good work. And thankfully, she's not done. She's been working hourly, helping with volunteer coordination, which we're doing more of, still really, helping to get Dan up to speed. And so I've been really excited that she's still involved in making time for Dan. Thanks, Bob. So I want to, Chip, and you, on the table there is the annual report. Could you hand this out? I want to essentially, so, you know, every year we make this annual report, which is basically a lot of statistics. So it's what Dan's handing around. And I think most of them are self-explanatory, but I have some extra things to say beyond what's written there, as you can imagine. So when you get it, go ahead and page through it. I have most of those things up on the screen. So, you know how people say, like, oh, I have some good news and some bad news, which one do you want first? I'm not going to give you the options, I'm going to tell you the bad news. So we had this really great run of increasing attendance. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I would tell some of my colleagues, they'd be like, oh, how's your attendance? I'm like, oh, wow, it's up 20%. And they'd be like, that's unbelievable. So now, of course, we have this since 2013, we have a decline, significant decline. 2013 was like 378 camper weeks, and now we're down to 282. And that was with Agape. Agape wasn't barely in the world. So that's the bad news. I think what I make of this, we need to broaden our camper base. So we have pulled a lot of kids from Windsor Central Supervisory Unit. They started the program, I believe it was 2014, was the first year of the program called SOAK. And that got a lot of kids who usually go to Bethany Purchase, and it took their time. So that's one thing, expanding where we're pulling kids from feels really important, over to Rutland, over to Springfield, more significantly in those areas. And even out of state. Another thing I made of this, the pavilion project was really ramping up as our numbers were going down. So I think we just got really distracted as we're dealing with the building. So some good news, registrations are tracking really high right now. So we're way ahead of any other year for this time with registrations. I'm not sure what that means, because that's been an increasing trend. Which also at the same time we're going down in camper weeks. So as long as these high registrations that are happening right now continue, I think we'll have a good summer. We'll see. So Dan talked, this is an ad going in the Rutland Herald this week. Dan talked a little bit about the new names for program. So launch, day camp, launch half, and launch full. That's for the younger children. Core is 10 to 13. Summit is 12 to 17 with a trip-based program. And then we're getting more serious about our leadership development, which is internship and approval, which then feeds into the staff, assistant counselor, et cetera. So I'm hopeful that this makes it clear to parents sort of what their obvious program would be. We've had a lot of comments in the past, for them, and so hopefully this will add to the clarity and help with the increase in attendance. So this is our attendance to revenue trend. So in the last 5 years, we did this big wave up and down, and then we also had the same with revenue, except for this last year, Camp Agape brought plenty of money with them. So basically the way we arranged that was they would bring their campers and pay for each one at our full price. So they brought 40 campers, I think it was, at 450 $5 a piece. So for me, what this shows us is the importance of utilizing our capacity. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. But we've been trying hard to get our numbers up to utilize all of our capacity. And so this sort of light bulb came on when Camp Agape called us and said, hey, could you do this program for us? And we were like, oh, yeah. You want to bring good dead money within our mission? Sure. So it was kind of like, hey, let's go. It's sort of the unicorn scenario. And now it feels like we just need to find more unicorns. I mean, if there's one, there's got to be two. So this is in your chart too. This is just interesting. We have our mission states clearly that we want to serve young people with or without church or religious experience living in Vermont and surrounding areas. But in agreement, I particularly like this ratio. I think we're serving campers with or without religious experience. And I love, like, if it was mostly kids who don't go to church, I think that would be a certain culture at camp. And if it was mostly kids who did go to church, I think that would be a totally different culture. And I love that it's a balance. So I wouldn't even mind if it was more like 60-40, doesn't attend. But this feels good. This feels really good. And also, you know, Vermont and surrounding areas, 85% are Vermont campers. And that was last summer. So I would like to see a few more kids from New York and New Hampshire and Massachusetts and Maine. So one thing we're doing this year, we put an ad in the Boston Globe, and we're actually just working with some families in that area to try to recruit some more folks from the Boston area. Back in the day, we used to have a lot of Boston campers. That was kind of a thing in the time and place. So we're going to try to recreate that. So when we talk about camper attendance, retention is a big part of that. This is our retention over the last 5 years. You kind of see it going up. So a lot of good stuff was happening right there. That was the peak of our attendance. We had a lot of retention. And this year was pretty good, 66%. So this chart here is from the American Camp Association. And what it shows you is that in our best year, we were right at the bottom of the upper echelon of retention. But in a typical year for us, we're kind of average. So we're like a B student with retention, I guess. So I guess I really want to be an A student. I would like to see this at like 80%, which is going to be a challenge. And I think one of the things Dan talked about, having multiple staff in each pattern, I think would be a big boost. This is not a new concept for Bethany Birch's. I mean, Fred, when you were a counselor, did you have an assistant counselor? Okay. I know that it was something that Jay was always working towards, assistant counselors and counselors. It's not a new concept, but we really want to try to make it happen so that the kids who need a lot of extra attention can get that without distracting from all the good kids. So even though our retention is only average or slightly above average, this was an encouraging email that I got this winter from Michelle. Hi, Brandon. I wanted to express my thanks for a great weekend for my son, Ethan. This was his first stay away camp, and he was so thrilled with his experience. As a mom sending my child away for the first time, you can imagine I had some anxiety too, and I'm grateful he had such a great time. I'll definitely be back. So that's exciting. We get a lot of those emails, actually, and I think I have told myself a lot of stories about how much everybody loves Bethany Birch's. And then when I look at this, I'm like, oh, like actually, we're just, you know, a little bit better than that. So anyway, I'm encouraged, but also we can do better. Winter Camper Days. This is a huge area for growth for us. I hope. The new pavilion certainly will make it possible to do what we've always wanted to do for winter camp. This is this year's number here. It was like 156, and we have one team program to go. So it should bump up a little. Mama. So rentals, that's in your paperwork too there. This is really interesting. So
for half of 2015, we had no pavilion, and the cabin was filled with volunteers.
Yet, we had an increase in rental days and revenue. That was exciting.
So it's interesting to me when you look at the cabin days, that's where the real rental is happening. And I've always sort of been down on the cabin building. But when you think about what it's accomplishing, it houses staff, it houses volunteers, and then it makes money on the side. That's pretty cool.
Okay, so I'm going to move on to the campaign. I don't know if you can see these numbers, there's a lot of numbers. Look at this one. $2.5 million. Thanks to each of you and to God for making this possible. I want to run through the chart just so you understand what's going on. So at the top, pledge to gifts. This is anybody who made a pledge in advance saying, I'll give X. Most of those have been collected. There's about $40,000 outstanding pledges. Some of that is in common. We have one-time gifts, so this almost $1.4 million. Is anybody who gave cash designated for the campaign. And I say campaign, not building. One-time gifts of materials and professional labor, so that's if someone gave us a new item that had a retail price associated with it. Or if Dave came to give some time, or Fred came to give some time, they had a known hourly rate, and they're working in their field, so we would actually count that against their hourly rate. And then we have, we're calling it amateur labor, and so we just took everyone else's hours and multiplied by $20, and that's how we get that number. And then this year, the auction and annual giving is not dollars that were designated to the campaign, just general giving over this time. So total gifts, $2.3 million, and then we used a loan so far of $245,000. So that's how we get to that number. We spent $1.7 million on the building so far. We used, of course, all those gifts of time and materials. We spent $50,000 on the fundraising, and we still have $213,000 in hand. So 2.1 is what we're using for the building and related expenses. Cash spent on operations and remaining for operations. And so the funds needed for a certificate of occupancy, we're saying, is $200,000, which, if you look up here, we have, which is great. So then we need to raise another $100,000 for project completion. So the difference between getting a certificate of occupancy and project completion is essentially a couple things. It's kitchen equipment, it's high ropes and climbing wall, it's a wood boiler, and some mezzanine. So those things we don't need for the certificate of occupancy, so sort of separating that and doing that as we can. One really cool thing to say, besides just how much money has come in, we have verified that we have met all the designations. So anyone who said, I want to give this for kids' camp, I want to give this for the building, all the designations, we have honored those and use the money for that. And I'm glad to show you the math if you want to see it. I think the success of this project shows that a lot of people really care about the camp, which to me means that people have had some kind of significant experience there or related to the camp. I just think that's really great that there's a lot of people involved in Bethany Birch's who have had significant experiences and want to make sure that it succeeds. I think it's worth saying over and over. That's all for now.
Any questions for Brandon? It is an amazing undertaking that was a big unknown as we went into it. Whether we were foolish or lucky or blessed or all of the above, it's pretty amazing to be where we are now after a couple of pretty tough years. So this is the business part of the meeting. And so, I don't know, Matt, if you're prepared to take minutes.
I was, but I left my notepad at home.
Okay.
Did you want to review the board?
Yeah, well, I'd like to start off. I don't know, Brandon, if you have access to the prior meeting minutes.
Does anyone have a pad of paper? I can.
So we're going to approve the prior minutes, as everyone has a couple minutes to read these. And then after that, Matt's going to give a short report on what the board has been up to for the last year.
I would note my name. Changes or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Matt, if you would be willing to give us a summary on the board meetings of the last year.
I will. I had notes and in my brush, grabbing the bread out of the oven, I left them at home. But
specifically how we're going to get it finished and ready for camp. So that was springtime, that's really where our focus was. As we moved into summer, we started talking more around the building about wrapping up the campaign. Not only wrapping up the campaign, but how do we celebrate this miracle that happened up on the hill, which brought about a really special auction this year. Put some planning around, let's not just do an auction, but let's make it a whole weekend celebrating the camp, the building, and 50 years of successfully doing what Lloyd envisioned.
is bringing kids from the area to a summer camp, getting them outdoors with something constructive to do, and letting them know about Jesus. So that is, as far as the pavilion goes, there's still ongoing time and energy being spent on that, but that was really where our focus was as we progressed through the year. Another big item, as we started moving past the pavilion projects, we all kind of agreed to stay put during this capital campaign. Phil agreed to stay on board as the president of the board. We just felt like the more stability we had supporting Brandon, the more stability we had as an organization, the better we would be able to complete the mission. And I think that proved correct. But now that we've reached this point, succession planning became an item on our agenda. By that I mean we want to recruit Susie. it meant last spring we were talking about the transition from Amber's program director to Dan, and what that meant, you know, what our roles would be as a support mechanism for that, what we wanted that to look like. And also, we talked a bit as a board about trying to increase our institutional knowledge. By that I mean not having everything in Brandon's head or on the hard drive of his computer. As much as you do a tremendous job, and I don't think there's a person here that doesn't appreciate what you do, we also realize that the more we can start to take pieces of that away and farm it out and get that knowledge throughout the board and throughout this group of people, the better we're set up for the long term. So that's a work in progress. Not that we want Brandon to stay for the next 50 years, but we have to plan for transition and change. We had a discussion last fall about staffing. What does it look like? What are we doing? There was some real give and take, and I think anyone who's been on the board, I've been on boards where it seems like you just say, you have a director telling you things, and you say, okay, you remember something that you move on. It really hasn't been that way. There's a lot of times that Brandon gives us information, we're happy about it, and we move right on. But I think there's been some real good give and take. I did a leadership training course several years back, and one of the things that I learned from that is that feedback is a gift. Positive or negative, feedback is a gift. If you don't get feedback, you don't know how you're doing and where you need to go. And I think as a board, we've been working on that. I think there's a great communication. And so that's something we're also working on, is making sure that we are questioning and doing our due diligence. So we did have that discussion about staffing. I think we arrived at some good conclusions. We had a discussion about Camp Agape that they were talking about. We see this as a great relationship. And one thing we've learned from the capital campaign is it's not just about the money that we brought in. That's been fantastic. But all of the new relationships that we've established with Bethany Burgess Camp, and what that means, whether it's in volunteers, staff members, future campers, the more we build that network of people who know and love this place that we call Bethany Burgess, the better we're going to be, the longer we're going to be able to sustain this. So that was a very positive thing. We were, we talked about the practical sides of it, but the more partnerships that we can develop, the better. As Dan said, we had a discussion around rental policies and practices. And that was, I think there was quite a bit of input from the board to refine those documents and really get at keeping things mission central. And then if I can read the fine print. The one thing that we did talk about kind of later this winter and wrapping into this spring was the realization, and I think it's great that we're able to identify this, we just, and I think Brandon really identified that, hey, you know what? Most of our energy and money has been spent on fundraising and building a building. We've been really focused on that. We had to do. And also the building, the fundraising, and the transition, knowing that there was a change coming in Brandon and Lambert's family, that we had to find a new program director. So for the last year, those things have been sucking up all our time and energy. And what happened was, this spring we said, look, we need to refocus on marketing and the mission of the camp. By marketing, just getting the word out there. We've got a great product now. I think we've done the right thing. If you go out and do the world's best marketing campaign, but you don't have a good product to give to the consumer, you'll get a lot of people that first year, but you won't have people coming back. So we've done the right thing by it. We've got a great facility now. We've got great staff, and we've got to keep working to make the staff, get the staff back, get them well-trained with what we want to do. And as a board, our role too is to make sure that we stay focused on what is the mission of Bethany Birch's Camp. And that really came into play with these rental policies and things. You know, we really discussed, we don't want to just become, we've got a beautiful building, but it's not just a resort destination. The more we can use that building for things that really dovetail with the mission of Bethany Birch's Camp, the better that's going to be. We want things to be a good fit. So anyway, that's kind of where we are as a board right now. We're, transitioning from the leadership of Phil to Sammy's leadership. And, we have a really great board. We also have spent some time working, which we do every year, at a board retreat, which is a great opportunity to really, spend some quality time getting to know each other. It was interesting. Stacy and I both commented that we had a facilitator this year. One of the things she said was that prayer is not a plan. And we both said, yes, it is. And I understand where she's coming from, but for us, that's the only way that we could have gotten what we got. Those things up there, I don't see how an organization this small could have done that without prayer and without the Lord working. So that's kind of where we are as a board right now. We know we have a lot of work going forward to just keep developing the program, keep developing the staff the way we want to see them, and looking long-term, where do we go with our facilities from here? I think the really good thing is that we're looking at facilities by the way that they impact the program that we want to provide. And I think that's the key to making it right, is to build what we need to provide the program that's going to serve the kids the best. So, thanks.
Next up, Russell and Will Rhonda. We're the board members from our nominating committee.
Can people hear me from here? Or maybe you can't see that. A couple of things. Before I introduce the people we've nominated to join the board, I just want to take, on behalf of the board, opportunity to thank you, Phil, for being our leader. So it was mentioned previously that we all agreed that we would stay on to sort of see through Mission Possible. And Phil invited and encouraged every single one of us to reach deep and make really meaningful contributions to the process and also to camp. And thank you for that. And every year we found someone who really asked us to step sometimes outside of our comfort zones to have really important and engaged conversations with each other at our board retreat. Thank you, those people, to bring them to us to do that work. And also, he was really supportive of Britain every step of the project way, and of every aspect. And he brought his expertise around finances and around organizational, the way organizations work, and the way to engage people who are working as members of the organization. So we just brought that so much more to us. So we want to say thank you. Mm-hmm. Now that you'll have some free time after tax season, of course. one of the things that Phil loves, I think, sort of keeping with the mission of the camp, is to be outside, and he wants to build an outdoor oven, and so there's a book to get you started. And he also loves to do things in nature, and so there's a gift card to Eastern Mountains Forest in here, and a little note that the board has signed to say thank you, so we are rich.
It's good for the organization to keep moving on, and I'm not going anywhere. So I'm happy to help and support however I can, and also stay out of the way if that's what's
I'm sure Kim would be happy to have you continue to stay alive. He's like the neighbor
of Jonas
and such.
Sure.
It's been important in a few years.
Sure.
Thank you. So yeah, one of the things that happens periodically is that someone's term does come to an end, and we need to replace or even actually can never replace them, but to fill the position. And so a nominating committee was formed, and Russell and I volunteered as members of the board, and then we asked about 5-6 other people, and everyone was really busy. So we got one other person, Denise Hershey, to join us, and we had a couple of meetings, and we looked at a long list of names, and we really were, our goal was not necessarily to promote just the right name, but to see what does the camp board have right now in terms of skill set. What are people bringing to the board, and what has left with Tom and Emery, and what is leaving with Phil, and so to sort of keep a well-rounded set of skills to bring to bear, and so we have invited 2 people to join, Stacy Selbo to finish out Tom Emery's term, and Stacy is going to introduce herself in a minute, and also Dave Feiler to come on in Bill's vacancy. And so I guess I would just invite you to introduce yourselves. At this point, we'll have Stacy go first and then Dave. And just say your name, how you came to know about Beth and Birch's camp, and for some of you, I guess that's obvious for Dave, and so what made what previous associations have been, and why you
are willing to serve on the board at this time. So thank you for considering. Okay, I'm Stacy Selbo, and married with 3 men now, 28, 26, and 23 years old. My husband and I moved here with our family in 2004, and began attending this church. My boys did go to Christian-based camps in Atlanta when we moved from there. And so our youngest son was in 6th grade here, and through the church became acquainted with some of the Bethany Birch's programs. So that was how we came to know Bethany Birch's. Of course, we were thrilled that there was a Christian camp just in our backyard. I'm on the missions board here at the Congregational Church, and I also knew Amber from a women's Bible study, and this connection just kept popping up on my radar. And so, I don't know, I feel like we have a real soft place in our heart for Amber and Brandon and everything that's happening, and I'm honored and thrilled to be invited to be a candidate for the board, and I just really appreciate the mission and the work that this camp does here in the state. It's so wonderful to see that light burning.
I think I'm going to step up here just so I can kind of see your face a little better. I think I know a lot of people in this room some of you for quite a while. I'm married, I have two children. My son Ben has been on POPs, has been on camp staff for quite a while. He's a junior in college, and my daughter, Laura, is 26, lives in White River. I'm self-employed as a carpenter, for folks who don't know that. And my wife's an RN at retirement discount. As probably most of you know, I did a period of time on the camp board before.
On the next year, is to try to better document and understand and embrace what the core values are of the camp. And so this is an opportunity to sort of start that process that we carry on with the board and with Brandon as well.
Yeah.
So a little bit about the future as you see it now. As our attendance was going down, and I think about being a Christian organization in the most secular state of the nation, I can't help but think about relevance. Whether or not we're really that relevant to people. Are we relevant because we give camp to them almost for free? I feel like that can't be the only reason. So I want to work on that in the coming years, understanding which things are relevant and how to become more relevant, if that is in fact a problem. I think we need to continue the weird, wacky, crazy things that we do. A camp parent told me recently she just thinks we're one of the most creative camps that she's aware of. And maybe she's not aware of very many camps. But now being in this whole thing for 11 years, I think there's some truth to that. There's a lot of well-established programs, but what we do, I think, is creative. So we have to continue that. We have to continue the community building that we do. I think that so many campers feel like they belong, they feel welcome, and they feel safe. And I think that's one of the main reasons that kids love there. We have to continue that. I think it's also one of the reasons why it's easy for staff to come back and easy for volunteers to come back and serve. A new thing to overcome, I think, is being identified as a place that the less fortunate attend. I was at Vermontos. As an owner of that establishment, that fine establishment. He was explaining to one of his customers, oh, this is Brandon Birdie, and he runs a camp up there. Anyway, that's how he talks. And he was saying, oh, it's like for underprivileged kids, you know. And I was like, huh. And it was just a new insight that I don't know how many people think about camp that way. And I think certainly there are underprivileged kids to come. But I don't think we want to be identified as the underprivileged place. I think we want to be the place that lots of people go, including the underprivileged kids. So I think we need to learn how to overcome that in our brand. Another new thing that I suspect we need to do a better job with is skills development. Dan touched on this a little bit. So it's my assumption that the typical American summer is going to change in the next 10 years. It already has shifted a little, but nothing has really changed significantly. The federal government has been talking for a long time about summer learning loss and how we don't test well against the Asians and all of these sorts of things. So there's already a pressure there. And now we see schools providing their own camps, right? Their day camps, which are basically like a more fun school. So I think that we need to do a better job with skills development so that when a camper comes to camp, not only is it all the things that is so great about summer camp, but also they really did learn how to shoot an arrow, and they really did learn how to start a fire, and they really did learn how to solve conflict in their relationships in ways that they could articulate and that parents could say, yeah, they actually did learn that there.
I think that that will help us compete with sort of this upcoming thing.
And if the whole summer sort of gets done away with, which I don't know if it really will,
but if it would, I think we need to be positioned to actually step in and say, hey, we could be a substitute for summer school. So we'll see how things turn out. But that's something that we're thinking about. Quick example of skills-based programs that we're doing and developing. I used to be a certified ski instructor, so this winter we started a ski program. By next winter, I think it will be something actually that works. We have often done fire building interest groups. I think we can build on that. We have occasionally taught paddling, and I think we can build on that. We are offering swimming lessons this summer for the youngest campers. I think that's going to be a huge plus. So the additional things that we will come up with, I think we just need to do a good job with. So that's all related to kind of more relevance. this is to my point, I just think you should see this. You will never believe how great a camp this is. The counselors are amazing. There are activities that you have never seen, and tons of awesome song. The kids here are friendly and welcoming, you know, the type we look for year-round. I love BBC and plan to come for many years. So this was my point. There are activities that you have never seen. I didn't ever get you. I didn't even know you could do that. I hope that's part of our program ongoing. And the kids here are friendly and welcoming. If you get 50 middle school kids together, I don't think they're going to say that about each other. That's happening intentionally, and that's part of the community that we develop and, I don't want to say enforce, but we do enforce it.
Nurture.
It's what we model.
What's that?
And we model it as well.
Well, we model it and we encourage it, and yeah. Every once in a while we enforce it. Which actually, the leader of Camp Agape is teaching us about a different way of discipline. Our whole discipline system in this country is based on enforcement. You do the rules, or you put me in jail, or we send a home from school. Like, there's all these enforcements. And she's saying, no, it has to be a negotiation. What does the person need and want, and what are our goals and needs and wants? And together, I'm really encouraged by her perspective. We're going to try to help her work that out in a way that works with, like, 60 kids. I think we can do it. Okay, another thing that we're headed towards. I'll just say doing better ministry. I think we've done really good work for the last 50 years. But I think we need to get better at measurement and adjustment. So many campers talk about how hard it is to continue their faith after camp. For the weeks after camp, like I pray and I read my Bible and I'm nice to people and like whatever else, right? And then I just kind of get up and forget about it. Don't know how to do it. And so we have to figure. So that to me is a breakdown then. And maybe it's not our job to help them develop their faith through their life. But if it's not our job, is there a way we can connect them with people whose job that is? So this is what I mean doing better ministry. Another thing, Dan mentioned partnerships, and I talked about the importance of utilizing our capacity. That's something we're really focused on. And if any of you guys know organizations, schools, churches, really good family groups, people who are doing things that perhaps the camp can help with, or be of service to, let them know, and let me know, let Dan know. And I just think there's probably more partnerships out there where we can engage and help. So please let us know if you think of something. Another thing that we're focused on is volunteer recruitment and utilization. I think we've actually done a really good job with this. So I think we need to put some structure around how we do this and keep getting better at it. I think the way that we do volunteerism has led in large part to our success with fundraising. So I think we have to continue to get better at linking those two and doing them well. The last thing I want to talk about as it relates to the future is values. This is what Phil was talking about. So if you look at recent summer attendance and rental days going down, the same time you see fundraising shooting up. So I think this highlights our limited resources, our limited volunteer and staff resources, and it accentuates the importance of having a set of values that we all say, yeah, that's what we do, that's what our resources towards, and that's how we use our time. So in order to do that thoughtfully, we need to identify and articulate those values. We have a mission statement and a purpose. By the way, I don't know if you guys have read the bylaws lately. This is my favorite part of the bylaws. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in there. I'm just kidding. But this is really good. The purpose of this was written in 1971. The purpose of this association is to own, manage, and preserve a camp facility where human life, wildlife, and plant life can coexist in harmony with one another. There's your nature piece. To provide a camping experience for youth where counselor and camper together can engage in learning relationships which will prepare them for future responsibilities in life. So there's a lot of skills development going on there, a lot of relationships going on. To provide for all camp participants and personnel a camp atmosphere and program that will lead them to an awareness of Jesus Christ and his importance in daily life as seen from an Anabaptist perspective in the study of the Bible, constructive recreation, in cooperation and teamwork of camp life, in the flow of personal interaction and various experiences of camp activities. This is classic meta. It is not only the importance of Jesus, but it's also his importance in daily life. And that's what kids are saying. When I'm at camp, I get it, I feel it, I can be that way, I can connect with God. I don't know how to do outside here. And then we have a mission statement. Our core mission is to help young people to develop their relationship with God by providing them with a Christ-centered camping experience in a natural, nurturing environment. I think that flows right out of that. Our priorities are to serve young people with or without church or religious experience, living in Vermont, surrounding areas, to ensure a physically and emotionally safe environment, to maintain the lowest possible fee structure, i.e. give it away. So I think in addition to these two statements, which are really great, I think we ought to have a set of core values. Because these things don't really address how we build buildings or which buildings we build. They don't really address what types of staff we hire. They don't really address a lot of the sort of operational decisions that we make. Those things are more about personality and character and integrity of sort of who we are. So who are we? Where am I? So, I think that tonight we have a little bit of time. Phil's got 8 minutes, so he turns into a public. So I think we should break into groups of five or so, and sit different places around the room, and discuss for about 10 minutes, maybe, or 8 minutes. These things. I would encourage you, because of the limited time, to maybe pick one thing. Now, let me back up. So, I'm still learning about core values. In some brief research I've done, this is one process, and then there's actually 3 steps after this. And this is actually geared more towards individuals. So, the question becomes sort of positive and negative, right? Because we can learn from both. So, on the positive, what have been the camp's greatest accomplishments and moments of efficiency? And what are the themes between those? And then I added, identify 3 or 4 brief sentences of advice you would give to camp based on, so if you've seen great successes in certain areas of camp, you know, what advice then might you give to the camp? Hey, maybe you should do this. Sort of thinking of camp as a personal place. Think through and describe the following detail. What have been 3 of camp's greatest failures? I think it's okay, I mean, to be honest about this, because I think we've had some failures. What have been 3 of camp's greatest moments of inefficiency? And we've had that too. And then what are the common themes there? And then could you identify 3 or 4 brief sentences of advice you would give to the camp based on these inefficiencies?
what was the example? I should have written that.
One thing I was reading, he gave a great example of advice based on some of the inefficiencies in his own life. Anyway, this is just one part, one type of process, and I think that good answers to these questions takes time. So I think at the very least, have some discussion. And if you don't like any of that or aren't making any ground up there, just say what makes that conversion wonderful, and try to answer that. And then let's get back together, and maybe Matt, you could scribe some. People could throw out some stuff. Is that right?
Good.
So go ahead, bring the group to 5 or 5 years. Nearest you.